Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I am with you every single Sunday. Right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and, of course, the afterlife. I encourage you to be bold and brave and go to the phones this morning with your theology question or life situation question anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. Life has its share of ups and downs, no matter what you do. Flat tires, an unexpected plumbing problem at your house, even illness. That's just to name a few. You can't nerf or bubble wrap the world. It has sharp edges, and you will feel them from time to time. At times, you'll have bad or inconvenient things happen to you. It's been said, don't be surprised by the average things in life. You know, people will have flat tires, including you. Does that mean the enemy's after you because you have a flat tire or these types of things? No. You're going to have things in life that happen to you. If you get to the place where you think that it's always the devil under every stone, you miss the fact that when there really is spiritual warfare going off and on in your life, because you've mistaken it for this, or now everything is spiritual warfare, and you really miss it when it actually is the enemy. And this is a whole different classification of trials that come your way. These are the spiritual trials. So it's not just a flat tire or plumbing problem. That's not why does this happen to me is not the time for that. Because why does this happen to you is because you're a human living on earth who has a home or a car and these things happen. But this other classification, this other type of trial that comes your way is a spiritual trial. These are attacks that, strangely enough, are often brought on by you when you invite the enemy into your life. It's like inviting the devil for dinner. For whatever it is in your life that you're doing, there are times where you do things where you welcome the enemy in. Any Christian family can take on attacks from the enemy. But as a believer, you must remember that the knob of your spiritual door is on the inside, and it's only opened by you. The devil can't truly get in your life unless you open the door and give him opportunity. This opportunity comes from you rejecting the things of God, straying from the things of God, looking for that opportunity that you know is not godly, looking for that relationship that you know is not godly, rejecting things that you know are godly. You have opportunities in your life that come your way, and you think, well, just because they came your way, they must be of God. Not always. There are relationships that are not good for you. There's jobs that you shouldn't be at, or maybe there's another one that is coming your way that would be better for you. There are things that you do to manipulate at times so bad that you welcome the enemy in. You get to that place where it doesn't matter what the consequences are. You just want what you want.
you're giving the devil an opportunity. When you ignore the warning signs, the red flags in your life, how many times on this very program have we opened the phone lines and talked to people that have called up and they have warning signs in relationships or situations and they ignore them? When you go through something like this, when you ignore those red flags, those warning signs, the alarms that are going off in your life, you're giving the enemy an opportunity. Ephesians 4:27 says, "And do not give the devil an opportunity." Pointing out that you play a part in this. You play a part in the dance, in that interaction with the enemy, the devil himself, to play a part in your life. Now, you may make excuses for it. You may look for reasons and say, well, I was doing this because, well, I was lonely and I wanted someone in my life. But when doing that, when the loneliness or your situation supersedes what you know to be right or good or the will of God, then you open up that door and say, come on in, devil, and you invite the devil to dinner. Because that seems like a better plan than waiting on God. The enemy prowls around you, looking for this opening, even masquerading to look more pleasant to you, trying to fool you, to look like an opportunity for a relationship, to look like a job opportunity, to look like an opportunity to get something easier, less stress, making something more obtainable to satisfy that quick fix. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Don't let that someone be you. Don't give the enemy the opportunity to consume you. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." If you get caught up in that appearance, the way things appear to you, and it looks like, hey, here's that opportunity I've wanted, not always is that the right way to go. Thessalonians says, "To test all things, hold fast to that which is true." If you're constantly running after whatever opportunity comes your way, you'll set yourself up. If you allow people in your life that you know aren't good for you, you set yourself up. You open yourself up. If you disregard the things of God, you treat people poorly, you don't follow the rules in life, changing them always to suit your needs, you open it up for the enemy. You surround yourself with the things in life that are vulgar or contrary to God or ugly. You open up the opportunity. And each of these opportunities are an opening, a crack, a possibility for the enemy to enter. Ephesians 4:27 again, "And do not give the devil an opportunity." Any crack, any fissure, any little opening in your life is an opportunity for the enemy. It's not that the devil is behind every bad thing that happens to you. As I said, you live in this life, you are a human being, you will go through things that human beings go through. Sometimes that's sickness, sometimes it's a flat tire, sometimes it's a leak that has sprung in your bathroom. All of these things, I understand, may seem like trials, but they aren't necessarily of the devil. They're of the world. The world is a place with many, many sharp edges. But the special type of trial, this spiritual trial from the enemy, often is a relationship between you and the enemy. You're giving permission. You're opening the door to your world, to your life, by rejecting the things of God. By toying or getting too close to the creek that you fall in. Think of that visual for a moment. Of getting so close, always trying to tempt fate and see how close you can get to doing the things that are counter to what you know to be good and right. And in doing so, creeping ever so closely to that line, just a little bit each time, that sooner or later, you stand at the door of your spirit, of your heart, and you hear a knock, and you open, and it's not me, but the enemy looking for an opportunity to come in, to devour, and destroy.
The Jesus Christ Show, I am your Holy Host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I am with you every single Sunday. Right here, answering your questions, and talking about the things that truly matter in life. And of course, the afterlife. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a theology question dealing with God, religion, spirituality, worldviews, the Bible, or if you're going through something in life, we call them life situations. And I think we know everyone's going through something right now. I'd love to hear from you. The number, 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. You can also follow us during the show and during the week at Jesus Show on Twitter, at Jesus Show.
You're going to have issues in life. You're going to have normal life issues that come with life. You're going to trip sometimes. You're going to hurt yourself sometimes. You're going to break your favorite dishes. You're going to do things that happen because you're human and you're in the world. Some will be bigger than others. Sometimes you may become ill. Sometimes there may be what they call acts of God, earthquakes, floods, these types of things. You will be affected. Life will happen to you. But there's another set of trials, of tribulations, of problems that will come your way that have the thumbprint of the enemy. But the enemy doesn't get in your life easily. The enemy gets in your life by you doing things to attract or allow the enemy in, truly inviting the enemy to be with you. And I know what you're thinking right now. You go, absolutely not, Lord. I would never, ever, ever bring the enemy into my life. But you do. Ephesians 4:27 even says, and do not give the devil an opportunity. And some things that you do in your life are giving the enemy opportunity. You have to find ways to defend yourself from building that structure in your life that leaves those openings for the enemy to get in. So how does the faithful believer defend themselves against the enemy? Well, Scripture says to submit to God and resist the devil. James 4:7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. By resisting, by first submitting to God. Also, the Bible instructs you to put on the whole armor of God for the ultimate protection from evil. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And you can read the rest of chapter 6 in Ephesians to learn about the complete armor of God. But finally, remember that although the devil is called the prince of this world, when all is said and done, God will be, without a doubt, the victor. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan at your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your Holy Host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I'm with you every single Sunday right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and the afterlife. I'd love to hear from you. Be bold and brave and go to the phone with your theology question or life situation question anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534.
Graham, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Are you saying Sue Graham?
Yes. How can I help you?
Hi. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Hi. I was calling because I was concerned. I was considering, this is the holiday season. We've got Halloween. We've got Christmas. And then there's all the various holidays in the world. And, it's a confusing thing because people do different things. And I studied past with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was touched by their thing about Christmas. That really brought a light to me about that December 25th business, that it isn't there. And then I think about it. And I did research and things. And, for example, a lot of these cards are greeting card sales ploys, like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Grandparents' Day, Secretary's Day, and ad infinitum. And, in scripturally, I kind of take Romans 15:5 onward till the end of the subject, really to heart, that we don't live for ourselves, we observe it to the Lord. We observe whatever day we observe to God, and we do it and give thanks, and we shouldn't be judging our brothers, but we should just not do the things that are blatantly.
So are you worried about celebrating holidays?
Well, yeah, because I'm not so much worried about it. I personally have totally embraced each day as a blessing, and do the best you can with it. And if some, because everybody knew how old they were, in the Bible.
I will tell you this: there's nothing wrong with holidays. Are they the holy days of the past? No. Are a lot of them, at bare minimum, embellished by the greeting card companies? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that you can't celebrate a mother or someone's birth or any of these things. I think that there are some groups, some may consider them fringe groups, that take this to a degree where they don't celebrate anything. And it's to me, that is more militant and unchristian in the attitude of celebrating all things. I mean, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's, do you need a special day? No, but then you could say the same about the Sabbath. You don't need a special day for that either. It's just a matter of taking the time and rejoicing and celebrating people. And sometimes it's easier to put something on the calendar than it is because people put it off all the time. You do it with relationships of any kind. You do it with friendships, with getting together for coffee or tea or lunch or dinner or whatever it might be. You put them off constantly. And sometimes it's easier just get something on the calendar and say, this is the day that we're going to celebrate mothers or fathers or family or friends or whatever it might be. And some of them may feel silly and you don't have to celebrate them. And yes, you can go back to the origins of Christmas and Easter, and you can look that they weren't celebrated by the early church. And of course,
I wasn't born in December. It wouldn't make sense biblically based on what was taking place during the time of my birth. All those things. Absolutely true. However, there's nothing wrong with taking a time, putting it on the calendar. In the case of things like Christmas and Easter, there were pagan holidays during that time. The early church wanted to try and root those pagan holidays out. So they kind of plopped my birth and my resurrection into those slots to try and squelch or squash the pagan religious ceremonies or festivals or things like that. And that was the way of the early church trying to kind of get their way. I get all that, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter that there's pagan ties in when it comes to Christmas and it comes to Easter. The bunny rabbits, the eggs, all that stuff comes from pagan roots. The Christmas tree itself is tied to pagan roots, but it doesn't matter because that's not what people are celebrating. And so to take a time of celebration to enjoy any more than people are celebrating, you know, pagans on Halloween. They're just not. No kid is looking at the theological significance of Halloween. They're thinking, I get to dress up, which kids love to do, and run around and get candy for free. That's it. No theological, you know, and I know that there's a lot of churches and Christian organizations that put on harvest dances or harvest events to try and sidestep the Halloween situation and holiday. But the truth is that the harvest was an incredibly pagan part of their ritual. That's where the, you know, they were tied into the earth and to Mother Earth and its fruits and all of these things. And you just start looking for the devil under every rock, and that doesn't help anybody. So celebrating birthdays, celebrating Christmas, Easter, the upcoming Halloween, any of these things is fine. It depends how you celebrate them. If you celebrate Christmas by, you know, killing a baby animal, probably not putting a smile on God's face. But if you enjoy family, come together, hear music, have food, praise God in the process, there's nothing wrong with any of these days. I think there's this attitude of giving up things that people assume is automatically Christ-like. That if you give up anything or you sacrifice something, that it's Christ-like. And there are times where you're called to give things up. There's times where you're called to give up relationships or maybe move jobs or whatever it might be. But that doesn't mean you need to sacrifice all the time. There was this young lady that I knew many years ago who was very devout and wanted to give her life to God. Her mother had passed away, and she had things from her mother that meant so much to her that she assumed that they were idols in her life. And as she started to dedicate her life to God, she started giving up these things. I mean, mementos that were the last vestige and connection she had with a person in her life, her mother. And she threw them in a dumpster to show God how much she loved God. And years later, she was so resentful towards God that she fell away. Now, you may say, well, then those things were idols. No, that's not the point. The point is that that God is not asking you to do some grand gesture every moment. God is asking you to live a life that glorifies God. And these big acts of book burning and getting rid of records and all these, you know, it's not about any of that. It's about trying to connect with people, be kind to them, Now, is that going to get you into heaven? No. You have to have a relationship with God. But these things on this world, on this planet, are important, and that is to connect with one another, to love and to be kind to one another. And not look for religiosity at every turn. There are times for that. There are times for reflection. There are times for deep prayer, obviously. And to sit and to ponder the things of God, whether it be through meditation, godly biblical meditation, or to connect with God in those ways, all wonderful. However, these big grand gestures, people in the Philippines that during Easter are nailing themselves to crosses, does nothing for God and his will and his movement and his cause. So giving up something that someone enjoys, like a birthday, and to be celebrated, celebrating life and enjoying one another and all these things, it means nothing to God. There is no, oh my goodness, wow, look what they're giving up. It means nothing. It's an outward, it's something to stir up other people and to say, look how different I am. If you want to show people how different you are, be kind. Connect with people. Put them first. Be selfless. But there's nothing wrong with celebration. And if you want to make it about your mother on your birthday, that's fine too. But there's nothing wrong with celebrating and finding excuses to celebrate and putting it on the calendar. Absolutely nothing. It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your Holy Host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I am with you every single Sunday, right here answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and, of course, the afterlife. I encourage you to be bold and brave and go to the phone with your theology question or life situation question anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. Anthony, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hi. When God casts out the angels down to earth, did they land in the land of Ur, the Sumerians? Because their Bible is exactly like ours. I've been studying history, and our Ten Commandments can be found. Moses' Law, Hanunabi's Law, book or spell 126 of the Egyptian Bible paraphrases our Ten Commandments.
And that's not the only similarities. There are great similarities throughout other civilizations as well.
Yep, like Greece and Mithra and Kabbalism, and the way that they preach transcendence is the exact same cycle as what Jesus went through.
Wait. Transcendence in what form?
Death and the resurrection is their final stage of transcendence.
But there's also pre-cycles that are much different than Christianity by far. So be careful not to confine them. And just because there's similarities, last week we talked about counterfeits, and there gets to be a point where similarities don't mean the same. There are counterfeit dollar bills that are very similar, but I wouldn't try and pass them.
Okay. What I was saying is when God cast out the angels, if they landed in the land of Ur at 6,500 years ago, and the flood happened 6,000 years ago, and then the Egyptian culture had the exact same thing that the Sumerians had, and all that, and then Jesus came back to teach us that, you know, that was the wrong way of worship, and this is the right way, to set the record straight, as you would. If you take a map, and you map out all the religions, the timelines in which they existed and were created, and map out all the similarities in one color marker, all the differences in a different color marker, all the similarities between each, you can see how religion, its migration distorted it, and its birth was with the fallen angels. And then Jesus came back to set the record straight because we were worshiping essentially the Book of Lists. They essentially took our Bible and made themselves the gods of it.
There are theories based on similar notions. The problem is that the timeline is when it becomes difficult. When you're dealing with fallen angels and the concept of the fallen angels,
You talk about Revelation 12, 7 through 9, talking about the battle with Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon or Satan. There's no specific time. As a matter of fact, when something's happening in heaven in that concept, it's really outside of time. So if you're using that as a basis to say, okay, well, it started here and there's similarities, no doubt. Similarities may point to a standard through point where you have a belief system starting here, moving through here. Some parts are taken, some parts are removed, some of it's polluted, some of it's added to, what have you. I get that. And that has most certainly taken place. But to try and trace it back entirely to the fallen angels might be a little difficult from a historical or timeline perspective. But absolutely no doubt that with the falling of the angels and the angels coming to earth, as it says in Scripture, it says in that very Scripture, Revelation 12, 7 through 9, talks about that he was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him, that in that process that there wasn't counterfeits and destruction and things that went along with it. So I get the big picture of where you're going and how you look at it. It looks like here you had a faith and then pow, you have those that would be motivated to destroy that faith, causing pollution and counterfeits and all these things that would twist it around, and that you say that you can kind of trace that back. But I think you're dealing with other things that are outside the timeline of history and then within the timeline of history, and that poses kind of a problem to figure out as to what took place when and where man stands in that whole equation as well.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I'm with you every single Sunday right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life, and of course, the afterlife. I encourage you to be bold and brave and go to that phone with your theology question or life situation question anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. You can also follow us on Twitter at Jesus Show, at Jesus Show.
Mike, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hello, how are you?
I am well, Mike. How can I help you?
There's two questions. I know biblically to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Once we pass away, Christians and believers, he accepts us, if anything, through grace that we are accepted into heaven.
Amen.
Two questions. Going back from day one, I'm new here at calendars, going back to 12, 13, 1400 and all that stuff. Billions and billions and billions of people have passed away and died. Number one, isn't heaven getting a little bit crowded up there, like a 4 or 5 on a Friday night? And then number two, reading a lot of it, maybe hearsay, I don't know, George Norrie, he has special people talking, but I've heard a lot that once we pass away, we go into a spiritual realm where we go through a learning process through a period of time. I heard some say that it's up to the soul or spirit if we want to come back into a different body and go through this whole thing again, or we can just stay up in heaven. It says that most people prefer to come back. And then they say, if you do come back, you'll remember what you did before. You know, once around is enough. This life right now, I'm ready and I'm done. I don't want to go through this again, even though I don't remember. Your view on both of those, please.
Okay, first of all, there's room for 10 more people in heaven. I'm just kidding. That would be horrible.
Yeah.
No, there's plenty of room. Heaven does not have the walls and the restrictions of time and space the way you think of them here. There is no limitation. God didn't make it and say, oh my gosh, I invited all these people. I didn't think they were all going to make it. It's not a situation like that. So no worries there. There is no limit to where somebody will be left out that believes.
But isn't it, I mean, if there are all these people, not people I should say, but souls and spirits just going around in heaven. I know the soul and spirit is like minuscule as far as waiting, fortune, whatever, but still, isn't it?
It does not. It does not take up space. You're applying human restrictions and attributes of this world to the next, and there is none. It doesn't time. There's no time continuum. There's no spatial concerns. It is not the same way in the same sense at all, in any way, shape, or form.
So there could be an essence. 600 billion people.
Wouldn't matter.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, and Christ and God would still be in control over all of that.
Yep. Wouldn't matter.
Plus whatever's going on Earth.
It doesn't matter. There is no limitations there. Now, as far as the second question.
And before you address the second question, I appreciate you calling. I do have a very brief third question about the healing practices of evangelists. It's very brief. If I may ask you after you answer this other question.
Sure.
That I had.
Sure.
You, sir.
Okay.
About the afterlife, being reborn, not being able to remember, going through a learning process,
yes,
coming back.
And that's
like,
built.
That's
not Christianity. That you had quoted some verses earlier in Corinthians and in Hebrews. You loosely paraphrased them about in Corinthians about it is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But it also says in Hebrews that you're it's appointed for men to die once, and then the judgment. So there is no. There's no place for what is referred to as the samsara, or that cycle of life. There is no place for reincarnation. Reincarnation was never in Scripture. There's no place for it. It doesn't fit. And so that doesn't make sense with Christianity.
Even though with George Norrie, I know he's a little not out there, but he does have interesting people that he talks
yes.
to stuff on the internet. So it's basically, this is it. Once we're done, that's it.
George Norrie is a lovely man, a very smart man, and he does have very interesting guests on Coast to Coast AM. But
yes.
But his job and his focus is not the same as the
exactly.
focus of this show. So. So he's looking at things from a broader spectrum than this program is. We're very focused on the Christian, Judeo-Christian presupposition and the Christian theology and specifics. So we obviously have a different point in when it comes to that. So in this particular case, there is nothing in Scripture that allows for that reincarnation, and there's no need for it. Now, there can be those that argue, or Catholic brothers and sisters argue, that there is a purgatory, but there's different beliefs in that. That has changed throughout the years as well as to what that means and what's taking place. But as far as mainstream Christianity or Protestantism, they differ. So mainstream Christianity, do you put Catholicism and Protestant in that same basket? They're going to differ. So keep that in mind. There is differences very quickly so we can make sure that we're fair to everyone else. You had one more question you wanted to ask?
Yes, just very, very quick. Known evangelist Catherine Coleman, probably the most probably known other local evangelist with the healing powers. I went to a Catholic church, going up on stage for prayer and everything. I mean, they didn't even touch me, yet I felt it. People, my wife and other friends, they said the priest wasn't even near me, and I just supposedly felt under the spirit. Other places when I went up, I actually felt this presence where you just, I mean, it's like just falling backwards. How, what is that manifest? And are these really true, I don't want to say healers, but the presence of falling under what they call falling into the spirit? I don't get that. I mean, I get it, but well, it happened to me. But how's that explained?
Mike, it depends, because, and this is not specifically speaking about anyone who refers to themselves as a faith healer. A lot of that is garbage. A lot of it ties into theatrics and whatnot and psychology that takes place during a group experience like that. That doesn't mean that it can't take place. Of course, there are gifts of the spirit that do take place, and there are healings that can take place to this day, but that is God's will, not the will of an individual or their ability. God will speak through somebody like a prophet, and God will heal through somebody like a healer, but it's not done in the theatrical way, the way it often is portrayed in Christianity across the board. There are many of those that, act as if they are faith healers, and really it's amount of theatrics, and people get caught up in something. The same way you can watch a movie that you know is absolutely fake, that is actors that you've seen many times before, yet you can start to cry or get angry or be thrilled by the outcome because emotionally you're having experience with those other people in the theater while watching something. So you have to be careful as to what your experience is. Your experience should always be lining up with Scripture and the things of God, and it should never be to the glory of an individual other than God. You shouldn't have to pay for such a thing. These types of things should be thought of before you go and experience things, because they can be quite emotional and can catch you up in that kind of overall attitude and excitement, and you can think that it's spiritual when it's just psychological. Something to think about, brother, and not be lost in that.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I am with you every single Sunday right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life, and of course, the afterlife.
Nancy, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hi, Jesus.
Hello.
I have a question.
Sure, shoot.
I am looking for verses about the age of accountability.
There aren't really any. If you're looking about something specifically talking about the age of accountability, it's more theorized by most, and many don't believe that it exists at all. But religiously, people use them, or theologically, people use that term usually to say there's different schools of thought. Some of them will say, well, a child will automatically go to heaven if they're below a certain age, or the age of accountability, which really is a sliding scale to begin with, because there are children at very young ages that understand and comprehend many things. And then there are others that get older and maybe slightly slower and don't understand things. There are religious traditions that say that the age of accountability is 12 or 13, because they reference that my first readings in Scripture come around that time, or certain things like this. So people will make kind of arbitrary lines saying, well, it has to be this, has to be that. But as far as Scripture specifically saying an age of accountability, no. But there is talk that people will come to the knowledge of the difference between sweet and bitter. And some people say, well, that may be alluding to the concept of truth versus that which is false. But no one verse that you're going to come across, that's why it is a topic that's continually argued to this day. Is there a particular reason you ask?
I was just trying to give some hope to somebody who doesn't believe, who believes that if a three-year-old dies today, they're going to go to hell.
Well, there's no reason to believe that either. I mean, the argument kind of goes, it does tie into that, and there's people that go back and forth, and they quote Proverbs 20:11 that talks about even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. There are those that will talk about Matthew, Mark, and I think this also in Luke 18:16, where it says, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And people look at that and say, obviously, Christ is talking there about the children being in heaven. And this is an argument that goes back and forth. This is a place where really faith comes in, and you have to trust that when the ugliness of something like a child dying takes place, that God has a way of balancing these things out, that really accountability and salvation is based on acceptance or rejection, not ignorance. And that's where the confusion sometimes lies.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your Holy Host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I am with you every single Sunday, right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and the afterlife. I'd love to hear from you if you have a theology question, or you're going through something in life like everybody else right now. I'd love to hear from you as well. Anywhere in the U.S. of A, dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534.
Ken, well,
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hi, Jesus.
Hi, Ken.
When I was 8 years old, I was at a Christian camp swimming in a lake, and I watched the boy drown right in front of me.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was a horrible, traumatic incident that changed my life forever. And now I take it to being an adult. I'm 40 years old now, and I decided to have my daughter baptized about 2 weeks ago. And I get the directions to the lake, and my daughter's very excited, and I'm very excited to have her baptized. And I drive in, and it's the same lake that I watched a boy drown when I was exactly her age. And I kind of relived the whole incident again, and I was devastated. I mean, the odds of this happening, of all the places that I could have had my daughter baptized, it was exactly the same place that I watched this happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't know why this was going on. I had mixed feelings about it. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe it's cursed. Is this really what God's plan is? Is to use this lake? And, you know, I decided that, you know, this wasn't about me anymore. This is about my daughter accepting Jesus Christ in her life. And I explained to her what happened, and we decided to do it. But I was wondering if there's any significance to this at all.
Well, I'll tell you, Ken, first, I'm very proud of you because you pushed through it. The enemy had you at every turn on that one. He would have loved nothing more than you to turn that car around and not have your daughter baptized. It would have been a huge victory in his eyes. And you pushed through it. There are a lot of things that are going to take place. You drive on roads every day that people have lost loved ones on. Every day. You've gone to hospitals where people have died. You've gone to restaurants where people have been have gotten sick or might have choked on something. Death is a part of life. It's everywhere. But you need to see the significance of the instance and what's taking place rather than the fact that there's a history of something. Now, if that child died because there was something in that water, I wouldn't blame you. But because of a freak accident or someone dying, to not use, you know, there's reason that it's the same place. This particular church or churches in general in that area may use this for. You said it was a Christian camp, or and now it's a Christian baptism. That there's, you know, it's a body of water in the area. It's normal for it to be used in different purposes. But what I want you to take from this is the fact that things aren't evil unto themselves. There isn't an evil thing in the world. Evil is when morally neutral things have bad relationships. So, for instance, when a child is unattended or doesn't swim well, water can be evil in the relationship between that person and the water, and they can drown. But in a baptism that's controlled and there are people around to watch and it's done structurally, it can be a beautiful thing about the awakening of someone's spirit and the acknowledgement of their faith. So likewise, if someone broke into your house, heaven forbid, with a gun, that's a bad thing. But if right behind them, law enforcement broke into your house with a gun, that's a good thing. And so I want you to stop, you know, not to see this lake as something good or bad. It was depending on how it was experienced that was good or bad. But the lake itself is not evil and it isn't cursed or anything like that. Situationally, it's very sad that you had to witness that at such a young age or at all. And it's going to be, you know, an indelible mark on your life forever. But I hope that it will be equally as indelible, the moment and the beauty of watching your daughter being baptized and confirm her place and her heart for God in front of all those people. That too should have power, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. And it's, you know, some good has come of it because I decided to be a paramedic after that.
Excellent.
For obvious reasons. So it did change my life forever. But it also, you know, after her being baptized, I'll never forget that day in my life. That was a day that just stood out to me, and I felt that, you know, God was talking to me that day. It just was a really strange thing to go through.
And what was he saying?
He was saying to let this go. He was saying, don't harbor any guilt. It wasn't my fault. You know, I was a child, and I didn't rescue him. I panicked.
But you didn't have the ability to rescue him.
Right, I didn't.
So it can't be your fault.
Right. It took a long time to realize that it wasn't my fault. And, you know, just to let it go, I mean, just to say goodbye to him, to pray for him, and I don't know. It was just a really difficult thing to go through. And being a paramedic, I've seen people drown and been on the other side of it, too. It was just a really strange day.
I want you to take all those, the physical things, and seeing someone lose their life, obviously very potent. Scripture says, do not fear those that can kill the flesh, but those that can kill the spirit. And I want you to think about all those people that are drowning spiritually every single day because no one wants to do anything about it. They're embarrassed to share their faith or whatever it might be. And the situation you're describing is that you immediately grew into a person who said, you know what, I want to know what to do, and became a paramedic. Mm-hmm. What you witnessed with your daughter was, you know, the symbolism of baptism is the death and the burial and the resurrection as they come up out of the water. And I think all of that imagery is very powerful, but what you do with it is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same knife you may use for a tracheotomy, an emergency tracheotomy, is the is a knife that could be used to kill somebody. And to not put value, positive or negative, on these things, the water, the knife, any of these things, but to see them as proper usage and improper usage. And what you've got to see both in the same body of water. And you got to see both sides of the beauty of that water and the power of that water in the sense of that it could take a life. But to dwell on it or somehow let it weigh you down when it's obviously been a positive or productive in your life, piece of your life, because you've taken it and said, I'm going to do something good with it. You have to let the power of that lake or the mystery of that lake go away. But you don't have to forget what took place there. You don't have to forget what you learned there. You don't have to forget the life. But you couldn't do anything. And guilt is irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything. It has no benefit in this particular case. And I think that you should enjoy the beauty of what your daughter went through, and that should be a significant part of your life, equally as significant as the death that you witnessed. Because if you really believe what it says in Scripture, it says that the fear is not in the flesh being lost, but the spirit being lost. And so you were able to sit there and watch your daughter come into a new life in Christ, and that's a very powerful and wonderful thing. And I'm sorry that you went through that experience, but it's obvious that it has done something and meant something in a way that has become very, very productive in your life. That glorifies God. The other gives the enemy total foothold. Dale, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hello, Jesus.
Hi, Dale.
I'm first-time caller. I have listened for quite some time.
Well, welcome. How can I help you?
I was married to whom I perceived as my soulmate.
Okay.
At a young age, I was actually 20. And she's 18. We were blessed with a daughter, and actually, and then two other sons after that. Married for 14 years, and worked so hard to build a good life and all my plans for the future and all the plans.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Plans that I thought God had in store for me were there, and was probably, the utmost happiest time of my life. And I had, was fairly successful in the field that I was in at the time. My ex-wife never worked because we wanted her to be with the children as much as possible. And
Dale, I hate to rush you, but because of time, is there a question that you have?
Yeah.
Sure.
We've been divorced. She committed adultery. Had an affair on me for a year. And when I found this out, it broke me more than I've never been able to get over this. And this is 4 years ago now. And it's still like it was yesterday. Will the pain ever stop? I mean, I have to watch another man raise my children. How does someone? I've still have yet to know. I do not know how to deal with this.
Dale, hold on tight. I have some thoughts for you just after this break.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your Holy Host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I'm with you every single Sunday right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life. And, of course, the afterlife. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you if you have questions of any kind. 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. And, of course, you can follow us during the week or during the show
on Twitter at Jesus Show. At Jesus Show.
We were talking with Dale. Dale, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you said that this woman you felt was your soulmate, and you get married young, you have children. She has an affair, and now she's with someone else, and they're raising your children.
Yeah, she married the man that she was having an affair with, and they actually have a child now together. And
do you have Dale?
It seems that all I do is I see my children every 2 weeks. That's what, you know, that's what they said that I mean, that's all I could do.
Dale, do you drink at all?
I did.
But you're clean and sober now?
Excuse me?
You're clean and sober now?
Not quite.
Not quite. And what does not quite mean?
There are times when I would do anything to kill the pain.
You know that that's not productive, and it won't help you see those children.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I am a Christian, and I know that it's not the right thing.
Are you drinking today at all?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good. That's a good start. So, Dale, when it comes to relationships, you get two people. Obviously, you both have a say, and you both can take the you know, you can either positively move in one direction together, or you can move in two different directions. Chances are, if we parsed your whole relationship and we looked back, there was a time when you saw signs of maybe she not being the right one, and then people bring children into the equation, all of that. We don't have time for that. But what I do want to tell you is that if you live in the bowl of just staring at that circumstance, she's married and she's moved on,
right,
you won't be able to dig yourself out at all. If you get to a place where you're bettering yourself, you're not, you know, getting into the hooch, you're not drinking, you're being productive, and you're finding ways to, I would encourage you to help others. And there's programs for people that have been cheated on and things like that that you can go into and talk and find out the things that people have gone through and how they've pushed themselves through it. Prayer and church and all these things play a part of all this. Then you can move forward yourself and find, you know, that happiness or a partner in life. But if you're going to focus on the past, on the program a lot of times, and I know pain is difficult to get through, but there's a limit. There's a certain amount of pain that comes from the experience, and then the rest is you putting it on yourself. And
right.
I liken the past to driving, and when you're driving, you have a rearview mirror, but you use the rearview mirror only to move forward, right, to change lanes, to make sure that you're driving safely. But you would never drive staring in the rearview mirror, wouldn't you? Because if you just stared at the rearview mirror, you'd crash, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what you're doing right now. You're driving, just staring in the rearview mirror. So
I know, and I don't want to. I want to move forward. I really do.
So today you need to start and actually have a process, whether it's setting up time to go to church and be constructive there. You need to find a charity or something where you can put your time into helping others, not wallowing in your own pain. And you need to dedicate yourself to those things and continue to build up your wants and desires in life and the things that make you, Dale, so that you'll be attractive to somebody. But somebody who's wallowing, who's boozing it up, is not going to be attractive to any woman that's going to be good for you. You got to clean yourself up. You're a daddy, and you're a child of God, and you got to clean yourself up, and then women will come. And you'll build your life and fulfill it by yourself, and then you'll be ready for another partner. But to sit in the pain isn't going to help, and that's the best I can tell you. It's about you applying that now.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I am with you every single Sunday.
right here answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and, of course, the afterlife. I encourage you to be bold and brave and go to the phone with your theology question or life situation question anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. You can also follow us during the week and, of course, during the show on Twitter at Jesus Show, at Jesus Show. Gary, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm well, Gary. How are you?
I'm all right.
How can I help you?
Well, my question for you is, I have a real hard time in believing. Just believing in the Bible, believing in God. I want to. I see people go to church. I see them happy. I see them successful. I try to read Bible verses, and it's just really, really hard for me to have faith and let everything go. And I'm just so I'm so nervous, and I'm so scared. Like, I just feel like there's a burden on me, and I want to believe, but it's just really hard.
Well, first of all, I do want to point out that not every Christian is happy, and certainly not every Christian is successful, but I know what you're saying, that you see that that it does work for some people, and work in quotes, and that there might be something to it, but what do you think is keeping, what are you afraid of?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's depression. I guess a lot of things have happened in my life where I want to know why. Like, why did it happen? I don't want to blame something or blame God. I like to think that maybe it happened for a reason, but it just after time again, when something bad happens, I don't know why it happens, and I want to know, and I want to believe maybe it's happening for a reason. And I ask questions, you know, to people that do, ask these questions to people that do go to church. I ask them, you know, why would God, or how does it work? How do you believe in it so faithfully? How do you believe that he's there? How can you trust?
Well, it's interesting that you talk about bad things happening. And you also talked about good things happening. There's people that have good things happen to them, and then you point out that bad things happen. What's a bad thing? How could you describe what a good thing was or a bad thing was if there wasn't some ruler, some judge, something above it all that gives you that understanding in your heart and your head as to what's good and bad? If there is no God, good and bad doesn't mean anything. Is it society that decides, well, that's good or that's bad? Because there's different societies that believe different things. There's cannibalistic societies. You wouldn't think it was good to eat people. So why do you think things are good and bad and then question the concept of God?
I guess what I feel in my heart, I guess it's what I've been taught, or just what I know. I've never really been to church. I never really, I study the Bible on my own. I read verses. Mostly I read them about the loving part, because there's a lot of people in this world that actually they use the Bible to be bigoted, you know, and
sure,
and not love and hate. And that stuff makes me it turns me away from it. When people are like that, it just turns me away. And so I'm just confused. I don't know. And I want this burden, this hole in my heart to stop. I don't want it to be there. I want to be okay. And I'm looking for it, but no one's ever really had the answers. And I'm doing it on my own, I feel.
Well, what are your questions?
How do I believe it? Like, do I have to wait for a miracle, or do I have to just keep studying? Do I have to just fake it till I make it? I don't know.
But you, every day you experience things. You use faith every day. And let me explain, this is what a lot of people in the church won't tell you. They want you to believe that faith is this thing where you just jump off every moment, that you don't ask questions, that you don't wait for answers, you just do it, and that's what faith is. And that's not. Faith is that portion that you can't know. No matter what you do, you can't know it. And that exists in life. So 90% you can know, and you should know, and you should learn and study, ask questions. But there's going to be a percentage, Gary. There's going to be a part that you can't know. For instance, you look at a chair and you trust your eyes and you say, my eyes say that's a chair. My eyes say that that's a wood chair. My belief is, and my understanding and my experience is, that wood is strong. That when it's put together in this way, that the carpenter probably used wood glue and nails or screws to combine them together to make that chair, and that that chair is probably at a regulated construction in such a way that it will withstand me sitting on it. But the minute you sit on it, the moment, Gary, you put the entire weight of who you are on that chair, that's faith. So with God, it's no different. You do everything you can to study, to learn, to find out things, but there's a point where you can't know. You don't know if that chair is going to hold you up till you sit in it. And there's nothing in life. No one can hand it to you. No one can point you to a scripture and go, this is the one that's going to make it all clear. This is the one that you're going to... Christians act that way sometimes. They're eager. And they want, this is what's going to do it, or all you got to do is this. It's not about that. It is... Scripture says, test all things, hold fast to that which is true. That's it. But you will never know. You will look both ways when you get to the side of a street before you cross it. And the little sign will say green, and you'll trust everything, but you never know. There are people that have been hit by planes that fell out of the sky when they're crossing the street. You've been taught to look both ways. No one says look up. So the minute you step into the street, it's with faith. You don't know all the options. You'll never know all the variables. You'll never know all the options. But you're to study and to learn as much as you can. And then there's a point where you have to have faith. You have to walk into the street or you'll never go anywhere. You have to sit in the chair or you'll never have rest. And you just have to do it. You're not standing around everywhere because, well, I don't know. I mean, it looks like wood. It looks like a chair. I'm trusting that it was made by a manufacturer to proper specifications. They're going to hold me up. Or, well, the sign says green, but I don't know if they're not working properly. And what if the light is really red, but the sign says green, so I'm going to walk across the street. Or this stop sign was put here, but I don't know if the person driving can't read or doesn't understand the sign. If you start doing that, you will never do anything. You'll never move to point one. And that's not how you live in your everyday life. But for some reason, you've given yourself permission when it comes to God that you can throw every other thing out the window that you do on a daily basis and make it different for God. And I'm saying sit in the chair. Step out into the street. Trust the signs. Look both ways. Get all your information as much as you can, but in order to actually apply something, there's a point of trust and a point of faith. And if you look around, there is nothing in this world, Gary, nothing that doesn't have to point outside to explain its existence. You have to point to your parents, who point to their parents, who point to their parents. The acorn points to the tree that points to the acorn. That chair that we talked about made out of wood has to point to the tree and the carpenter and all of these things. And I'm saying if everything in the universe is contingent, has to point outside itself to explain its existence, then the universe itself is contingent and has to point outside itself to explain its existence. There is a lot of reason for the existence of God. There is a lot of reason and intellectual understanding for the existence of a creator. There is nothing in science that ever says something comes from nothing. Science says the cause is always greater than the effect. Well, if the effect is something, then the cause can't be nothing. There's plenty. I could do this all day, Gary. But it means nothing if you're not willing to apply it to your life.
I understand.
Do you?
Yeah.
So what do you do next?
Continue studying and, like you said, take that first step. I guess I'm thinking to build on it.
Indeed. You have to have a foundation. Your foundation has to be sturdy, just like anything else. Did your parents ever have faith?
We never really talked much about God. I mean, they were good parents. My dad passed away, and mom's still here. But, I mean, we didn't really go to church or anything like that.
No grandparents or anything? Were people of faith?
No one ever really talked about God.
Okay.
I mean, my friends talk more about it, but it's not. They're not like Christian. They're more spiritual than anything, I guess.
Yeah, spirituality doesn't get you much on its own, because it doesn't. It's like the concept of free love, rather than a relationship. It doesn't land anywhere. There's no accountability, and I think you need accountability. And it you need that structure. So this is something you're going to have to build from scratch. No one has pointed you in a direction. And I'm saying that if you get into Scripture and you find yourself a good Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church that is palatable to you, the way they worship and all of those things, give them a little bit of your trust to learn. And then if any red flags go up or you have any concerns, you call me back, okay?
Sounds good.
And then we'll talk again.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I am with you every single Sunday right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And the afterlife. I encourage you to be bold and brave. Go to the phone with your theology question or life situation question anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Jesus Show during the show and during the week at Jesus Show.
It's tough to find a way to apply your faith. And it's one of those things that there is no other way than to actually apply it. But there's a lot of counterfeits out there, and there's a lot of people that want to point you in the wrong direction. And I get that. That can be scary. But doing nothing is not an option either, because that becomes a decision that's passive. And in that passive decision, you end up having consequences in your life, whether you want them or not. So better to do your homework, to show yourself approved, as it says in Scripture, and to study and test all things, holding fast to that which is true. To learn about what God may have in store for you and what God wants from you in this life. And I know it's very easy to roll your eyes and go, oh boy, more religion. I'm not trying to put more religion in your life. Structure, faith, understanding, accountability, absolutely. But more religion, eh. It's not about stained glass windows or big buildings. It's not about fancy hairdos and nice suits, polished shoes and a southern twang. It's not about knowing how to tell a joke or to tell a good story. It's about learning and understanding the purpose as to why you're here. And there is a purpose. And God has a path and a plan for you. And he's ready to show you when you're ready to receive it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Always so much better when you're here with us, as we are here with you every Sunday, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and the afterlife. You can follow us on Twitter during the week and during the show at Jesus Show, at Jesus Show.
Carrie, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hi, Jesus. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for everything, all the blessings in my life, good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, praise God. How can I help you today?
I have a life situation that went from bad to worse to good. Thank you.
Well, hallelujah. Let's hear it.
Beginning of the year, I was well in, this year, I was well into my fourth year of unemployment. I was, in May, I was looking at eviction from my humble little abode, and I went to a county agency here that I had heard could help me with that. Unfortunately, they couldn't help me without me being employed.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked the mile home from there, the first half of the mile, crying and being upset and wondering why God did this to me. And the second half of the mile, I walked home praying. I got home, was dejected for a while, and within an hour and a half of the time that I got home, I received a phone call asking me to come in for an interview.
Wow.
For a job, for an application that had been floating out there for a year.
My goodness.
In July, I got that job.
Oh, praise God. That's awesome.
So it's not always easy to live by faith as opposed to by sight, but it does happen.
Indeed.
So,
and isn't that interesting? People ask, well, why doesn't God want this for my life? And we have to remind them that God does want that for your life, but it may not be the same time frame that you think. And to hear things like that, and I appreciate you, Carrie, calling and sharing your story, because to hear things like you had a resume, an application, what have you, floating around for a year before you ever got response on it, before you ever heard back or any of those things, is a testament to patience and to your faith, because you just don't know. And for whatever reason, God wanted to teach you that patience or understanding of spending time with him during that time, whatever it was, that you learned it and you're back on the track to balancing everything out in your life, it sounds like.
Yes, I am. And that's not to say that my faith doesn't waver from time to time. Because
of course.
It does. And, you know, but I try to learn something from every lesson or life situation. Again, the good, the bad, or the ugly. So, but I wanted to say thank you. And it may not, again, it may not always be an hour time. And sometimes the waiting is really, really hard. But the payoff is way worth it. And not just in this life.
Absolutely. And how sweet that is when it comes together. I appreciate you calling, Carrie, and God bless you and your patience and even taking the time to want to tell a story where you said, hey, you know, things went from good to bad and then went from bad to good, because that is a very hard place to live. And a lot of people live in that space of, wow, woe is me, and nothing is going to get better, and life is going to continue to be, you know, one pile of dung after the next. And there's a point where you're sitting there staring at a pile of dung, and all of a sudden this little sprout pops up, and you realize, oh, yeah, dung is fertilizer. And sometimes that garbage that goes on in your life, that big pile of dung of problems, is there to fertilize, for some reason, to make something else grow, something new, a new direction, a new insight, a new understanding, a new tool for your tool belt. We always talk about that on the show, the life's tool belt that you use every day, that you reach for to have those tools that help you get through the day. Well, you kind of, it's like a video game, you know, where you earn this and, oh, now you have this weapon or this food supply or this medical supply or whatever to keep you going. And God is giving you those opportunities in life to collect those things for your toolbox to make you better and stronger. And if you give up, you never get to see them. You never get to see the ending of the movie, the happy ending. Happy endings don't only happen in Hollywood. They can happen in real life if you allow them to, if you allow God to finish what he started. In Scripture, it says that God is the author and finisher of your faith. And the wonderful thing of that is, we talked about faith, many calls dealing with faith today, is the wonderful part of that is that, yes, you have to participate. You have to read Scripture. You have to pray. You have to actualize your faith and apply it to things. But it says that ultimately God not only authors your faith, but finishes it. God doesn't just leave you in the lurch. God is there with you in the process of it all, with you through the good, the bad, and, as Carrie said, the ugly, to move you in a direction that is positive and beneficial to you and to others around you, if you allow him to, if you allow him to guide you and not wrestle with it. I see people do this all the time, fight with machines or systems or whatever, because they want it and they want it now. And I'm telling you, you should beware of that. Because you may be forcing yourself down a path that is much more dangerous, much more problematic than the path that takes longer that God's got you on. And that you will force yourself into something that is a whole world of hurt. I see this in relationships. People fight to stay in relationships that are horrible because emotionally and because of pride. They don't want somebody to go. But in the long run, it's often better. So many men that stay with women that aren't good for them. So many women that stay with men that aren't good for them. And too long. It's okay to go down a path and have a relationship and say, hey, this isn't working. But to keep it going when it's not, be careful of what you do to expedite things or to be convenient. Because that will ultimately come back and bite you. And when it does, it will be 10 times bigger than the first problem. That if you just were patient and waited and trusted, that things would work out in the first place.
Tony, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
I'm an 83-year-old woman, and I'm revisiting my will. My estate is not overwhelming, but it's reasonable. I have two children. In the past, I've always felt the right thing to do was to divide everything evenly.
Mm-hmm.
I have different thoughts now, I would never leave all of my estate to one child, but while I would consider, while I want to leave the bulk of it to both children, there will be other considerations that I would now want to leave to one child and not the other, because one child has moved away, and while she occasionally sends a card or makes a call, has distanced herself. The other child has remained close. He includes me in all holidays, visits me, two or three times a week, calls me daily. He and his wife basically take care of me, although I'm still pretty able to take care of myself.
Well, are you being punitive, or are you just not close to that child?
I thought about that. No, I don't think it's punitive. I think it's more realistic that people who stay close to you and help you and work with you and for you probably deserve more consideration.
Fair enough. And okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Okay.
I think that in a situation where you feel someone has given you, if you're, if you want to do it in a way where you split it up, a portion of it, and you say this goes to my children, and I have split this up evenly amongst you, and this is for you being, you know, my blood and my children, and I love you, and then have, as it's, you know, set up in the will or whatever. And this is an extra amount for this child for taking the extra effort to take care of me or watch over my things or whatever. That's fine as well, however you want it to be stated. Of course, you love your children.
Of course.
And do you feel that there's some reason that your daughter has kind of stepped out of the picture a little bit?
Frankly, it seems as though she was always more attached. She tied up with a boy when she was 15, mm-hmm. married him, and seemed to have attached herself to him. Mm-hmm. Her friends have always meant more to her than her family. I've accepted it, but now that I'm older and needing more help, I see more reality in rewarding my son more. It won't be, you know, I'm not leaving everything to one child and not the other.
Sure.
The largest part of the estate will be split. I think that's just her nature.
Well, I think that's fair. If somebody has given the extra, if a child has given the extra effort, and often that falls onto one child,
yes.
That they end up being, whether it's proximity, or just character. It's just, you know, that's just the way they are. It ends up falling on one child, even in, you know, larger families to take care of.
I
think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. It's your money. You can do what you want with it. It's even fair if you wanted to give all. Just keep this in mind. Have all of those things. Again, this is not a legal show.
No.
We deal with morality, but have all those things in order, because once you come home with me, your family is left to deal with that and to deal with any battle that might ensue or frustrations. And do they have a good relationship as brother and sister?
Yes.
Or is she similarly disconnected with him?
More attached to other people, I guess. Similar.
Okay.
Similar.
But just keep those things in mind. But
yes.
It's fair for you to do. There is nothing right or wrong. I guess a parent is always teaching up until the end, right? And that's a very that's something that you're teaching, and you're saying, "Hey, listen, this is a family inheritance, and family is more than just blood. It is it's you know, a verb, and you're participatory in each other's lives,
And you have every right to give that money to whomever you want. And if that's the case, that you choose that, that's fine as well. Just, you know, let it be known and to have that explained in any paperwork so it's understood and therefore accepted.
It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your Holy Host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I'm with you every single Sunday right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and the afterlife.
That last call brings up a lot of thoughts about family and connection. And I know that life is built on relationships. It really is. And I've said many, many times that Scripture is all about relationships. It doesn't seem, and that's not to be some new agey modern thought of whittling everything down to relationships. It's the truth. If you go through the beginning and Adam and Eve to the book of Revelation, it's all about interaction with one another and interaction with God. And getting to the focus, to that center of relationships, is the key to everything in life. Everything. Your job, your well-being, your home, the peace at home, all of those things really center on how you interact with others and can relate. And that means, and by relating, it means not only, you know, if you think one-sidedly that you deal well with relationships, that's not a relationship. If you understand people, take time to understand them. And in a case of being a parent and leaving money to your children, putting it in a will, I know that there's a lot of factors that you're thinking about dealing with. Well, this person took care of me or this person took time with me. But there's also things that you have to think about when you're gone and the relationship that that leaves the rest of the family members in and the siblings in, and how that could build rivalry or that rivalry or interaction cause problems in the interaction of those siblings. And so your relationships never stop. Isn't that fascinating that even when someone passes on, that really the spirit of what they bring to that family unit or whatever continues to be a part of that family? And oftentimes there are parents that mistreated children or favored one or did something that continues to last. How many times have we had phone calls on this very program of people calling in and saying something happened a long time ago, the parents are even passed, and it still permeates or has a driving force in relationships to this very day? So obviously relationships are incredibly important. And sometimes people get wrapped up in the fact that their chemical or chemistry, or I connect with this person or I don't connect with that person. But ultimately, learning how to deal with other people, learning how to understand other people's needs and who they are as a person is part of communicating and part of having relationships. And you need to take time to understand and to learn about those people as well. And I encourage you to do that in all walks of life, family, friends, everything. And I know that there's a lot of noise out there these days and a lot going on in the world, but I want you to remember these simple words. I am with you. Always.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.